How do you help TMS? It's super simple. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS. Sorry, eh?
The crown fits really nicely.
How old are we?
Nazi doth protest too much.
Egg and cheese drinks.
Cheese stole the cheese. It's a lactose tolerant episode of the show.
That guy's name is Cheese. Hotel hackery.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
No offense, my man, but you're a little seasoned.
Seasoned? I'm not asking to play. I'll coach. I'm Nate Scarborough.
Later on, we go out to woods and shoot some trees.
They are all that is man. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. This is Wednesday, February 1st, 2017. It is a new month, and we missed yesterday. And some of you are like, hey, where's my Tuesday episode? And my answer to you is, it laid in a fetal position on the floor. I had a weird gut flare-up yesterday, and it was just a pain thing. It was nothing else. It wasn't like a virus or something. But it went away. I'm good now. I'm all right. Good. A little achy, but, you know, fine. But it was so bad overnight that I texted Brian. I said, I don't know, man. I don't know if this is going to work. And you said, I will say to you the words you spoke to me. Health is more important than the show. Or something
true,
like
yes.
that. And I took your advice and got a little rest. And good. Everything's fine now. Everything's fine. So
good. You know, I'm glad you're feeling better. You sound better.
Yeah, I'm a little tired. I'm a little pooped. I feel like I haven't slept very well in the last couple of nights. But I'm going to fix that tonight. I'm going to bed on time. That is to say, somewhere before 10 p.m. is my plan.
Jeez. Like, when you say on time, you mean early.
Yeah, pretty early. I mean, a lot of people... So my normal bed, I'm usually hit the hay about midnight or something.
Yeah.
And I always feel better if I do something closer to 10. So I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start eating dinner at 4. Start getting a
you
discount.
Know, there's the early bird special at Perkins you could probably take advantage of.
Yeah, they got the biscuits and gravy there. I'm going to do that. anyway, been a weird couple days. But thank you all for your patience. It's much appreciated. Mm-hmm. I wanted to say a thing or two about Canadians, if I'm okay to do
sure,
that.
Sure, let's talk about Canadians.
Let me take the stage here for a minute about Canadians. Normally, the stereotype, I think, pretty much holds true for a large portion of the Canadian population. They're all very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice, apologetic, wonderful people. They provide us with great comedians that then move here. So we like that. We like when their comedians just come down, come south and live in Hollywood and entertain us. We like it when they become band leaders for David Letterman. When they become, you know, those sorts of guys are great. We love the Canadians.
But you can keep Bieber, please.
Yeah, please keep Bieber. He can stay up there. Although I think he's probably down here right now. I don't know where he is. You notice we haven't heard a lot of Kim Kardashian or Bieber stories or anything lately. I don't know why it's so quiet on that front.
Well, Kim Kardashian, I mean, pretty much since the robbery, she's been laying low up until about Monday, and then apparently she's, you know, back on Instagram, and she's doing some new dumb thing where you have long fingernails,
yeah,
and then you have them pierced with a whole bunch of rings
in the fingernails themselves.
And I get freaked out when my, you know, after I cut my nails, if you have a tiny little barb, a little, you know,
yeah, like a little stick out,
rough edge, mm-hmm. and it catches on everything. I can't imagine what having like 43 rings on each hand is going to do.
Plus, it would just bug you, right? You'd feel them
totally
jangling around.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it. Is that going to take off? Is it going to be like a fashion deal?
I think that's probably their plan, right?
Okay. Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like anything about what you've told me.
Oh, I know. It's like, I wonder if I can get people to start putting rings in their fingernails.
I mean, I'm trying to think if I've ever seen it. I don't think I've ever seen it before, so maybe she's onto something. Maybe she's found a new thing. You got a picture or something?
I have a picture. Let's see here.
Put it in
the
chat.
Want to allow Entertainment Tonight? Do you use Flash in your browser? No, I don't think I do. I don't think I trust Entertainment Tonight.
No, not with their browser. Not with their flash. Forget it.
Oh, so I put a link in the show or in the chat room. I couldn't click on that in the Twitch chat.
Do that one more time. I refreshed and it wasn't there.
I'll put it in...
Or Slack, whatever.
I'll put it in Slack. Yeah, put it in the Slack.
Stick it in the Slack. I want to take a look at it. Because to me...
There might be an autoplay of the Entertainment Tonight business.
I think I have it blocked. I have all good. Flash blocked
good,
on my computer.
Good, good.
Yeah. Because Flash is...
Especially from Entertainment Tonight.
Oh, look at that. You know, her park is falling off. She needs to tighten that up. All right. So chat room, let's together take a... Oh, yeah, it is doing Flash, so it's not going to play. All right, sweet. So here we go. Let's take a look here. We'll all look at it together.
People are saying I'm frozen, by the way.
Oh, that's not good. We don't like it when you're frozen.
No. Let's let it go.
I will make it so that... Whoa. No. You're playing. It's funny because the Flash won't play.
Right.
But the audio from the Flash did.
Oh, gosh.
That means that's HTML5. Oh, look at these. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's got three on one, two on the others. The middle finger's got three. Right. I don't think those are her real nails.
Probably not.
Those are artificial nails. So now it's making more sense because that is a temporary state, right?
Yeah.
You're putting on these fake nails.
Yeah, but even fake nails, I mean, it's not like they pop right off real easy. I mean, you got to glue those things down, right?
No, that's true, but they come off easy when you use the stuff on them. Like, my wife does these, not like this, but she does, you know, occasionally gets her nails done, and those, she'll wear them until they start to grow out a little and push forward, and then she'll go in and get new ones, and all they do is dip her hand in some kind of emulsion, and they come off.
Right.
So it's no big deal. But I couldn't do this. They'd be clinking all the time.
Right. How do you pick your nose with those things?
Yeah,
that's
the big question. So
how does Kim Kardashian pick her nose?
So, there's a picture of her smushing her breasties down. I don't need to be looking at that. So let's close that and come back over here. well,
don't
anyway.
Scroll down. All right. Anyway, Canada.
Yeah, good
it's
idea.
Canada.
Way to go, Kim Kardashian. So Canada with a C, not with a K. Mm-hmm. They like I said, make nice people, right? Mm-hmm. And I generally believe that. And the other day, though, I got this really, really flamed out angry dude on Twitter from Canada who was so mad at me that he changed his profile. You know, you have the profile up there can say, Brian Ibbett, host of Coverville.
Right, yeah.
Coverville.com, you know?
Yeah.
He put up there, I like hockey or something. Some other something something, and at the bottom it says, Scott Johnson is an effing something something.
Oh, geez.
F him, F Scott Johnson, F-ity F-F.
Wow.
In his actual profile. And I thought, well, you're not a real Canadian now, are you? Because even if I was the problem you think I am, you wouldn't say all those things, I don't think, if you were Canadian. Yeah. That's my stereotype. Now, I know some people are going, Scott, come on, we have jerks up here too. And I understand everywhere's got their jerks, right?
Sure, of course. Right.
But I'm just a little, I don't know, I was a little put back, a little put to the side by this Canadian interaction, where all my other Canadian interactions with the likes of Jeff Sire and Bo Schwartz and who else?
Jocelyn Moffat.
Yeah, all these people. I love them all. They're great, wonderful, loving, caring, warm-hearted people. But
you
this
mentioned Bronco. Yeah.
Yeah, Bronco's great.
Jeff Sire, yeah.
Yeah, he's great. Who do we not? I feel like I have to mention all the Canadians I know.
Justin Trudeau.
Oh yeah, he's fine guy. That Justin Trudeau.
Well, do you know why this guy is so mad at you? Like, do you know what his deal is?
Yeah. So he said, what did he say to me? Oh, I know what it was. He said, I can't remember. It was some tweet about how I felt like I can't remember what it was. It was probably something political. And his response to me was, why are you so upset? I doubt any of this has affected your family. And I said, oh, that's easy for us to say, isn't it? Or something to that effect. I don't remember the exact words. And his response was just a complete freak out. Just like pissed, angry.
Wow.
And just started F-bombing up and down. And so I thought maybe there was a little triggery stuff going on there.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Some other things going on that this was kind of the...
yeah, I don't know. It was weird.
The straw.
It was
straw
weird.
And camel's back.
Yeah, straw, back of camel, meet
Venn
one
diagram.
Another. Yeah, there's a little crossover. Those two humps crossover right. In the middle. So anyway, I want if he's listening. I don't know if he is. He seemed to be a TMS listener, from what I could read on his timeline. But if you're still listening, dude, you know, I'm open to just having a chat. We don't have to we don't have to flame out like a ball of fire from a shit wizard. All right. Hey.
Fireball.
You watched The Crown, right?
Loved it. Yes. Okay. Did watch The Crown.
I picked it up on your recommendation, and a few other people had said, mm-hmm. watch it. I'm not quite done with it, but man, that is a really, really good hunk of TV.
Spoiler alert. Elizabeth becomes queen.
She does totally become queen. she's still there, it turns out. Anyway, it is really good television.
It's so good. And it's funny because it's a drama. It's a Netflix, you know, multi-part drama series deal.
Yeah.
And you're so used to things like Game of Thrones where, oh, there's epic battles and, oh, this guy's losing his head and there's a bunch of wolves or The Expanse or, you know, Halt and Catch Fire or Man in the High Castle, right? All these things where it's like, oh my gosh, so many, you know, unbelievable things are happening. And then The Crown comes along and it's subtle and it's understated and it's intelligent. And there's still a lot of crap going on. I mean, there's infighting and there's power plays among the royals and stuff like that. It's just so good.
It's really, really good. And I'll say this. I didn't know The Fog of 1957 was so bad what year it was. Yeah. It was amazing. For once, an American actor is in a British production.
Right.
And is so freaking good. My gosh, John Lithgow is incredible in this.
Yeah.
Like, his brilliant. Winston Churchill is like a freaking revelation. Everything about it is good, and I cannot recommend it enough. Now, if you say, Scott, I don't like quiet, thoughtful things, well, then maybe this isn't for you.
Sure.
But if you like a nice, quietish, like you said, thoughtful and well, you know, spoken sort of brain working thing that's very historically accurate, apparently. I mean, I went and looked a lot of stuff up as I watched it. I went, wait a minute, did that really happen? Stuff totally happened.
Right.
And that Foy girl is amazing.
She's fantastic. It's great seeing a Time Lord be such a dick.
Oh, yeah, totally, dude. Freaking Matt Smith, he's great in this.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's quickly become maybe my second show of what I've seen this year. Right there with Man in the High Castle. I'm hoping The Expanse season 2 lives up to my expectations and ends up in that space as well. So I'll have three really great shows to recommend. The Crown.
And then the Queen Sister? Hubba hubba.
She's a pretty lady. She reminds me of
Maggie from Walking Dead.
Yep, Maggie from Walking Dead. In fact, at first I thought it might be her, but it's not her.
Totally, they look like they could be sisters.
Could have been her. She's British and all, so she could have done it. But the cast is impeccable. There's a bunch of people from all these other shows my wife likes. Like my wife and her friend Ruth Ann are really into this show called Pole Dark. Are you familiar with the Pole Dark, Brian?
No, All
right,
no.
Some British produced, set in the 1600s. British man, spy man with a bunch of ladies. Like, it's just a very lady, you know, they're way into it in a way that is not the thing I'm into. I just don't think it's all that great, but it's fine for them. They like it. And a bunch of those actors are in this, and this is so much
some
better.
Some Downton Abbeyers and some Caldwell midwifers. And
yeah, it's like, hey, got some British people? We got a show for you. Come on in. Right.
And
like,
what's his face from Mad Men, who was Price?
Oh,
Sterling Cooper, Draper Price.
Right, that guy.
He was in he was in Fringe, and he's been in. The dude's been in everything. Really good.
Yeah, that guy's great. Everything's great. People should really honestly sit down and watch this freaking thing. If you like anything that's set in a different time, that's enough for me to recommend it because it's really good at doing that. It captures that moment. It feels almost like, you know what Britain feels like in the 1940s and 50s to me? It feels like steampunk to me because everything's just like gnarly and oily and foggy and the buildings are billowing weird stuff. And in the 30s, there's Zeppelins flying around London and like, speaking of The Expanse, King George, who was the stuttering king from The King's Speech, or as I like to call it, The King's Peach. He's featured in this because he was Elizabeth's father. And the way they tell his story is they flash back to it when she's a little girl a lot. which is really, really good. I love that. Also, important thing though, King George, actor plays him, also was in The Expanse, played this underground freaking mobster dude on The Expanse. That guy's great. So if you're looking at a little crossover from your two really great shows, there's that too.
Interesting.
So The Crown, put it on your head. Let the 15 pounds weigh it down. You know?
That's right.
It'll be fine. You can run this. You can run this country. All right. I want to also complain about a thing real fast, and then I want to hear about your appearance on television.
Okay.
Was it a local news thing, by the way?
It was a local news thing, yeah.
It wasn't like national or regional or anything like that. Okay.
No.
Age verification on Steam. I would just like to put it out there that maybe we want to change how that works, because it's the dumbest thing ever. I go to a webpage where a video game is rated M for mature. Let's say it's Call of Duty, or it's...
you shouldn't be playing those games, Scott. Those are
GTA 5, whatever, right? You go there, and what does the page do? It says, you need to verify your age. And then it's on me to go from a drop-down that currently says 1-1-2017 and change it to be 7-17 in the year I was born. What people do instead is they go 1-1 and then grab the other one, flip down as hard as they can, and hit 1909.
1951, whatever. Yeah, whatever it lands on.
Whatever they land on. Who is that helping or protecting? Nobody. Do you know what? Do you know a 13-year-old kid who's going to look at that and go, oh, well, my age range doesn't fall within the accepted parameters here.
Oh, no, I guess I can't download this game.
Yeah, I even look at the video. Like, it's so dumb to me. I don't understand it. I know we need something there, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's so stupid, man.
It's a janky system. And it's
a dumb.
I mean, you
waste.
Think that you could just put it in your profile, right? Put your age, your birth date in your profile. And then when you log in, he can look at everything. He's old enough. Boom, done.
Yeah. You'd think you could. And maybe Steam has a way to do it, and I haven't looked hard enough. But but it's not just there. It's like video game trailers on IGN. They make you do age verification just for the trailer. And usually those trailers have nothing in them that's considered offensive. It's just, hey, this game's rated M, therefore we have this thing. There must be some law. I don't know what it is. But but what kind of law?
Even red-banded trailers on YouTube that make you do it too. I mean,
it's like having a law that says, don't rob this bank. And then says, all right, would you like to do the honor system and only take out the money you need?
We're going to put all the money in a stack. Only take what you need.
Yeah, because remember, you did the verification at the beginning that you wouldn't take any. Like, it just, I don't know. It seems like bad security.
Now, what's your take on those stupid dropdowns where you've got to choose the country, your country, and you have to scroll all the way down for United States? But do you feel like it's a little bit of a jab to all those other countries? I said states. United States. But do you feel like it's a jab to all those other countries when somebody makes a drop down and puts United States at the very top?
I do, except there are smart websites where that's dynamic and it knows based on your IP. So when you when you go there and do it, it puts the country of your IP first, no matter where you're at, and that makes it convenient.
Oh, see, I like that.
That's great. That's your solution. See, I'm saying there's always a better way to do something, and you can find it. It's just about how lazy somebody wants to be.
Right.
But I actually do kind of, there's two things I hate. A site that makes me search all the way for it, or the ones where it's clearly not doing it by IP and I get US first. It does make me feel like, well, wait a minute, where?
It's not very fair.
It's not nice. You know, what about Zimbabwe? They got to go a long way down.
They do, totally. Now, they do the thing you do in Steam where they just go with their little scroll wheel and you get the very bottom.
All right, Brian, let's talk about your TV appearance. How did it go?
Sure. So right after the show on Monday, I hopped in the car and drove down to the Channel 9 studios in Denver, Colorado. So this all came from a letter that I sent to this news program. It's a local news program called Next, and it's they take a few of the top stories from the news and then they kind of go deeper with it. Usually local stuff. They talk about, like, you know, how the problems that are going on with our monorail line that we've got out here, our light rail line. They talk about issues with the local government, but they also talk about national issues as well. And they always say, hey, if there's something that's, you know, stuck in your craw, send us a note about it. And, you know, maybe we'll talk about it on the air. And so I decided, you know what? I'm just getting irritated with how all the crap we deal with in movie theaters. It's been no secret to people who listen to this show that Tina and I are magnets for weird crap to happen.
Almost every single film you go to, you come back with some story about somebody being a jackass.
Exactly. It's like 3 out of 4 times I think it happens to us. And people just get ruder and ruder, and they don't think about the fact that when they turn their phone on, it's a shining beacon of light in a dark room, and we don't need that. We don't need to be taken out of passengers with Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence and distracting me from whatever's going on the screen.
From the quality plot that was in that film.
That's right. From the really good first half of that film.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
But so sent him a letter, told him about the experience with the phones and the guy smoking pot in front of us. They responded back immediately, said, "Oh my God, this is, you know, something I'm sure that'll resonate with our viewers. Please. Can we come and shoot some video at your house?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, my wife's got pneumonia right now. Probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
She's probably not up to having a bunch of people over. And I think we probably have to do a lot of cleaning here to make her feel better about how the place looks." So I said, "Well, what about, can I come down there?" And for a while we talked about us meeting at a movie theater and getting an empty, vacant theater and shooting in there, which would have been perfect.
I love that idea.
Yeah. That was almost going to happen up until like Monday morning. They just didn't hear back from the theater that's closest to them that was going to have some sort of arrangement. So I show up there, and the producer meets me in the front lobby. She walks me back to a little booth. Like, it's almost like a little, you know, when you go and if you go and buy a car,
okay,
right, and they've got the big old showroom and they've got the nice new cars right there that they've driven into the showroom, and then the guy says, "Well, let's go work on the paperwork together," and then you follow him back to a little cubicle room with one big glass wall and you know, a thing on the side that says how many days they've gone without an accident and stuff like that.
Yeah,
this little booth, but it's perfectly sound isolated. There's, you know, carpet on all the walls. They've got the big foam pads, and the ceiling is all done, and they've got these big bright lights shining on this chair in the middle of it.
So it's just it's exactly for things like this.
Perfect for things like this. Yeah. So they make me sit on the chair. They've got a little movie theater graphic behind me. Mm-hmm. The guy, the cameraman, it's basically me and the cameraman in this room, and he's doing this interview with me. Tell me about some of these things that happened. And I tell him about the story with the pot. I tell him about the story with the when we walked into the empty theater, we sat down, and then a couple followed us in and saw the jackets that we had sitting next to each other, next to us in the chairs, the empty chairs next to us. We had our jackets, and they said, "Hey, are you saving that seat for anybody?" And they decided to sit right down next to Tina, like in a completely empty theater.
Yeah, which makes no sense.
And then the lady who's busy doing a hand shandy or something to the guy next to her and drops her popcorn all over Tina's lap or what, you know, they For obvious reasons, they probably couldn't air that one. But
yeah, probably not. But
and then they hand me a little sheet of paper that's got my letter on it, and they say, "Okay, we're going to have you read your letter a few times, and we're going to take it from different angles, different camera angles." So I had to read my letter 5 times and all this stuff from different angles.
Yeah.
Like, okay, wow. And so the whole thing took about 15, 20 minutes, and I was done.
Not bad.
And I said, "Well, so, yeah, I mean, just give me a shout. Let me know when this is going to air. I'd love to let people know that they can go check it out." And this is at noon, right? Or 11:30. Guy says, "Oh no, we're going to edit this and it's going to go on tonight's show." Oh. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, wow, like I know podcasters who
take a lot longer
to edit a podcast, audio podcast.
Well, this is Nine News, Colorado's news leader. They have to hurry.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. They are Colorado's news leader.
Yeah.
That's what they say. Sure enough, it aired Monday night, and they cut out lots of stuff, but that's to be expected. I mean, they've got to fit it into a little sound.
Look,
but
at least they didn't accidentally call you serial wife killer Scott Peterson the whole time.
That's right.
Because that happened to me last time I did this. So I'm going to chat room. I got it up here. I want you guys to see a piece of this. Okay, we're just going to play. Let's see if we can get to your bit here.
We've really been wanting to see. Buy a ticket, some popcorn. You find your seat in the theater.
By the way, his jacket, that's a shitty jacket.
It's funny because he wears like it's the most he's a motorcycle guy in a moped town kind of thing. I mean, that kind of stuff would probably fly really well in New York or LA, those kind of like really you know, sweet sports jackets, but
not here so much. All right, well, let's see what he says.
And then you realize you are surrounded by animals. We have all been there. Next viewer, Brian Ibbett, emailed us about a recent experience at a movie theater. Brian has some things to say.
I know there are a lot bigger issues these days, but have you noticed how common decency has become a rarity?
He's like sitting in the corner,
days?
Dude.
People talking in normal voices.
You like how, by the way, he kicks in with the This American Life.
Yeah. This is really amazing. Hold on, there's more.
In the movie, everything. My wife and I had an experience seeing Arrival a few weeks ago, where people in each of the three rows directly in front of us pulled out their phones during the film, and to top it all off, the people directly in front of us decided to light up a joint an hour into the film. That one actually prompted us to get a manager. It feels like, you know, all right, I did. I paid $20, almost $25 for my wife and I to go see this movie, and to have somebody ruin it by talking or pulling their phone out or taking calls.
Yes. Yeah. Brian Ibbett, moviegoer.
Is that what? Is that my? Is that my title card?
Brian Ibbett, moviegoer.
Moviegoer.
That's amazing. All right, I'm gonna watch the whole thing later. That's really great. Congratulations, Brian. Well done.
Movie reward card holder.
That's pretty great. Oh my gosh, that made me laugh. So all is well. Did it change anything? Did the theater call you and say, "Oh my gosh, we had no idea"? Like, was any real journalistic work done here?
I did hear from Alamo Drafthouse saying, "Hey, come see movies here."
Did you really? Did you really?
On Twitter, because we were talking about. We actually brought up Alamo Drafthouse in the discussion that got edited out, but. We were tweeting about the place because they've got a zero tolerance policy for people who are a-holes in movie theaters.
Yeah.
And they've even got a great video that they show before movies from a woman that called in because she got kicked out of the theater because she was on her phone. Like, hey, you guys don't know how to treat your customers and I'm treated like a criminal. And
yeah.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah. F-bummy as heck. But
of course. Well, good. I'm glad somebody out there is trying to clean up the streets, man. Got to make this experience better, or we'll just watch everything at home, Hollywood. Is that how you want it?
That's right, exactly. And that's the thing that came out of this discussion, the tadpole, is that so many people don't go to movie theaters anymore because all this crap happens. You pay ridiculous amounts of money. You know, prices have gone up. Mm-hmm. The price for a movie is too damn high. Mm-hmm. And then you pay for popcorn and all that. And then you get crappy people around you. You're surrounded by animals, as Kyle Clark says in his fancy jacket.
Well, he's not wrong. Well done, Kyle Clark. Let's do this. It's time for Stump a Trek Nerd / Stump a Daryl, and Daryl's on the line with us. Hi, Daryl. Hello? Oh, he was there. Is he not there now?
I see his box is there, but it's not his usual yellow.
No, hold on.
Oh, I can't.
Oh, there you go. Are you there?
Am I?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Hi, Daryl. I see your yellow post-it thing. What's up with that?
It's there.
Okay, now it's black.
Oh, weird. Yeah, in the small box, it's black, and sometimes it's yellow. Weird.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to see what I can see.
I set it. I set the phone down. It's black. I pick it up. It's yellow.
Oh. Well, that's some fancy stuff you got there. We're going to take a live caller and see if this person is capable of winning a little contest here. I'm clearing the lines. The number to call, 801-895-4724, 801-895-4724. Call in now. You could be the big winner of a rad prize and help stump Daryl. We haven't had a loss in a while. Say what?
And you'll be on with Brian Ibbett, moviegoer.
That's right.
Moviegoer.
Oh, yeah, you're a moviegoer. Don't forget. I'm
moviegoer.
It's a hell of a title, man. You should wear that on a shirt or something.
I'm having new business cards printed up as we speak.
Yeah, Brian Ibbett, moviegoer. Anyway, that number is 801-895-4724, or if you already have me on Skype, you can send it to My Extra Life. That's where we'll be answering it. We have our caller, and let's see who it is. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, Scott. It's Eric.
Hello, Eric. What's going on, Eric?
Oh, not a hell of a lot. You?
I'm all right, man. It's good to have you on. You here to win some stuff? You want to try to win?
That's the plan.
All right, Eric, where are you from?
Hopefully things go according to plan.
I feel like
we've talked. Calgary, Alberta.
Oh, that's right. Canadians. Canadians. We love Canadians, except for that one. You're not the one, are you?
I'm not the one.
Okay,
no.
Good, because this would be real awkward.
Your prize has just been switched to something digital that I can email you.
That's all right. Not a problem.
Thank you, Customs. Just kidding.
Well done. Slow Customs and slow shipping and expensive shipping. All right. Anyway, hey, it's good to have you on, Eric, and always happy to have somebody who is from Calgary, home of the, what is it, the Flames?
The Flames, sure.
Yeah.
And the Roughnecks.
Calgary Flames, yeah.
Yeah. Are you a hockey dude? You like the hockey?
Not really, no.
I always wondered, is it like a, everyone makes it seem like it's a national law that you have to be a hockey fan if you live in Canada. Is that not true?
Yeah, I think I'm one of the few. I just, I'd rather play sports, not watch them.
Oh, look at that.
I think it's like, you know, like football is here. I mean, there's people who like football, there's people who really like football, and there's people who don't really care about football here in the U.S. And mm-hmm. I think it's probably one of those things like hockey in Canada. We just assume because most of the Canadians we see in America are hockey players that come down to play our teams.
Yeah. And you guys.
So we must assume that everybody loves hockey.
You guys invented it too. So, you know. I just make that assumption. I'm not going to make it anymore, but I am going to make a opportunity here for you to win some stuff. Brian, explain the rules and how it works.
Certainly. Well, Eric, what we're going to do is ask Daryl a trivia question. He is going to give his best guess, which will be in the form of a number. He'll be close, you know, but he won't get it right. Come on, let's be honest with each other here. Then we'll say, sorry, Daryl, and we'll go to you, Eric, to ask if the actual answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you are correct today, you win this spiffy Halt and Catch Fire Season 3 hat, Mutiny. It's awesome, courtesy of Dodd Vickers, as well as a way to drum up some ideas with a notepad that looks like a drum kit, and the pencils are drumsticks.
No way.
How cool is that?
That's
you can like
cool.
tap on this notepad and play the drums.
You'll be the envy of all of Calgary.
It'll be like you're part of Shania Twain's backing band is what it'll be like.
That's right. Isn't she Canadian?
She is.
All right. Well, that's perfect.
Yep.
All right. I guess that was
hence,
the point.
Hence why I brought her up.
Hence the reason you mentioned her. All right. All right. That's pretty good. What's our topic?
Our topic today is MASH.
MASH, the television program MASH that ran from 1972 until 1983. I know from direct conversation with Canadians that this show appeared up there, but it's kind of old, so let's see how this goes. Daryl most recently watched it, and we'll probably have a pretty good answer for this. So, Daryl, here's your question. How many episodes were there for this series? And again, 72 to 83, remembering what TV was like in the 70s and the 80s, I'm not giving you a hint. I'll say it's less than 500,000, okay? There's your hint.
Now, are you counting like the movies, like the 407/7th Meet the Harlem Globetrotters, or
was that a
the 407/7th Meet the World War II guy that lives in a submarine and still thinks the war is going on? And
I think you may be thinking of Gilligan's Island, but
oh, I might be thinking of Gilligan's Island. Okay,
I wonder. You know, but can we take this moment to say why is Gilligan's Island not streaming anywhere? What happened? Who owns the rights?
Yeah, I know.
I would watch that. My kids need to see that piece of crap.
They need to see that. They need to see the episode where radioactive vegetables wash up on shore and they all get superpowers.
Easily my most memorable episode is that one.
Yeah.
By far.
Because as comic book readers, it was like, oh my God, they're getting superpowers.
Yep. And it was Gilligan had really good eyesight and could see ships way off in the distance. And Professor... what's his name could lift things that were real heavy or something
super strong. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember what the Howls did. They were probably, I don't know, strong money. I don't know what they had.
I can't remember. Yeah.
They were lame, but anyway, yeah, Matt, get that on the Netflix or something. What the hell what's going on? All right. Daryl, let's commiserate here. What do you think? What do you think that number is? That's 11 years, by the way. So that's a long time.
11 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. From when to when?
From 1972 until 1983. When I was 2 years old until I was 13 years old.
I will say 264.
264. And 64. Any reason in particular you're going with that number? I'm just curious.
Because 11 years, 24...
Oh, I
shows
see.
Per season.
Oh, you're doing the math. Okay. All right. I don't think that's a bad, you know, that's not a bad formula. I think that's a pretty smart thing to do. So let's see if you're exactly right with that number of 264, Brian. Is he?
264 is incorrect. Eric in Calgary, is the actual answer higher or lower than 264?
Hmm.
I never watched that show at all. That's a little beyond my generation, but I'm going to say lower.
Yeah, you think lower then, eh? Not higher than that. It is definitely beyond. Well, I would even say, I mean, this show was for my parents, right? That's who it was aimed at. Now, because they were the demographic at the time. They're the ones watching a primetime drama on or comedy or whatever this thing classified itself as. But I still, and my growing up with it wasn't when it aired. It was like repeats on Friday nights at 10 o'clock.
Syndication and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and so I feel like all of the MASH I ever saw, I saw well after its airing.
Except I thought I was the demographic.
You were too young too, man. You were born.
No, I think he was probably the right, you know.
Yeah. Well, what were you in 72? You were only like what, 5 years old?
In 72.
You were probably like 6 or 5 or something.
No, I was 10.
Oh, you were 10 in 72? You weren't born in 62, were you? I thought you were born in 64. Why do I have that in my head?
I don't know.
I don't either. All right. So, yeah, you were 10. I guess you were kind of the demographic.
And
You're smart
and
enough.
He was probably more the demographic when Charles Winchester came around, right? Like less of the Frank Burns, more of the Charles Winchester era.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. I like all of it, but it's all in retrospect for me. But anyway, it's okay, young Canadian. I think that we're going to find out whether you believe that lower number is indeed lower or higher or whatever. So let's find out. Did he win?
Congratulations.
Pack that thing up.
You're a winner.
Send that shit to Canada because he won, and the answer is 251. There were less than...
If you would have done the math on 23 episodes per season, you would have had it.
Yeah, you would have nailed it. I think it's a good... You know what? It totally... Oh, he's...
By one.
I don't know what that was. You're getting some internet issues there, but
bounced back from Venus.
I would have done what you did. So I just feel good about that, I guess. That Daryl did the exact math I would have done in my head.
Yep.
I thought all things were 24 episodes back then. But that's not the case.
Only 24.
Well done, Eric in Calgary. You're going to want to send Brian an email at coverville@gmail.com. He'll send the stuff to you based on address information and the like. Congratulations for winning, and thank you for playing with us today.
Yay! Awesome, thank you.
Go watch some hockey. Bye.
Thanks, Eric.
All right. Daryl Skeels, you're still here. Let's play a game with you. Do you have a game to play? What do you got there? Give me something.
Well, as usual, I'm going to read part of a query that I've entered into YouTube. Mm-hmm. You complete the phrase and win nothing. Those are probably really salty.
Okay.
it's so funny to me to hear the sound clips that sound like he's saying it right now, like the audio is unchanged from his current microphone.
Yeah.
It's kind of fruity, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Oh, was that him now totally or was fruity. That from before? I don't know. I could do a whole soundboard. Hey, Daryl, what are you doing?
Do Google and...
Okay, talk normal then next time. What, do you know what day it is?
I have no idea.
Okay. What?
How can you screw up a hamburger?
I don't know how you do that. Hey, what?
I don't like hearing myself. Shut up, me.
All right. Great. Anyway.
What?
let's do this.
Oh, yeah, MASH.
Yeah, MASH. What? Let's do MASH. No, let's do Google or Google. YouTube. Search
YouTube.
It.
YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
It's so bad. It's like they
are we? Oh, wait. Your video started playing. Why is it playing?
I don't know.
All right. It's not now. Jeez. Right, sorry. I don't know why that played. That was really weird. All right, Daryl.
Brian has things to say.
Yeah. Your leading news source in Colorado auto-plays videos long after I pause them.
Right.
Lame. All right. Go ahead, Daryl.
Okay. Spock is... Boy, there's a lag going on.
Yeah.
I think you're having Wi-Fi issues. I could be wrong, but I think
somebody in your department is streaming Goodfellas right now.
Yeah.
Spock is blank.
Spock is blank. Spock is dead. Because the scene in 2. I'm not trying to be insensitive to Leonard Nimoy's passing.
Too soon, Scott.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Spock is right.
Yeah, that's a good one too. And dead may be too obvious. I'm gonna say dead. He'll say right. What do you say?
Dead to rights.
Does and they say Spock is emotionally compromised.
What? Really? That's it?
That's it.
That's the thing. Okay.
Yeah. Emotionally compromised.
Is it from an episode probably or something like that, where he was like, "Oh, I'm going through Pon Farr or whatever," One of those deals?
I don't know what it's from.
All right. Well, your internet blows. Goodbye, Daryl. See you later.
All right. I'm going to describe people today as emotionally compromised. That guy in Canada,
yeah,
on Twitter, he's emotionally compromised.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, I like where you're headed at with that thinking. Yeah. I'm going to do that too from now on. This is our new. This is the new way. This is the new life. Everyone that we're. Everyone's emotionally compromised. It's the news brought to you by.
Brought to you by Coverville, where today we celebrate the birthday of Axl Rose, who's turning 55 years old. Aww, isn't that cute? Mm. Axl Rose, lead singer of Guns N' Roses, so of course covers of and by Guns N' Roses, as well as some covers of songs that Guns N' Roses also covered, right? So Live and Let Die, Since I Don't Have You, what was their big one? Knocking on Heaven's Door. It's all coming up today at Coverville, on Coverville at 1 p.m. Mountain Time at coverville.com/live.
Take me down to the paradise city where the grass is green and the girls are pretty.
Mm. Oh, won't you please take me home?
Wow, 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 wow. He was great.
He'd probably be saying that now. Won't you please take me home?
That would wait. Hold on. That makes Axl Rose the same age as Daryl. Think of that.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, wow. You guys could hang out.
Imagine, probably buddies.
Imagine those two on a road trip.
Mm.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
You know I like the people who doth protest too much. Well,
yes.
Here's a good one for you. A Nazi thug who chanted, Allah is a pedophile, is exposed as a child sex pervert.
Child, is that the right term? Child sex pervert.
This is a very British thing. It just seems British
like somebody
thing.
Throwing... Or whatever, you know, it's like a child sex pervert.
Pervert. No, it's very much like it's a very British thing to say, I think, and this is a British newspaper, so I think that's how they would maybe say it, but I'm not sure. A far-right thug who terrorized his former partner and mouths off about pedophiliacs or pedophiles at an anti-Islamic rally was exposed as a child of sex offender. Christopher Allen, age 32, was last week sentenced after admitting behaving in a threatening and abusive manner towards his ex at her Edinburgh home. He is an active member of the Scottish Defence League and was pictured at a rally last October. Scottish Defence League must be some sort of right-wing deal.
Or their football team.
There could be that. It doesn't sound like that. Who are you going for this year? I believe us. Scottish Defence League is on my list of people I'd like to follow. despite the council trying to put a ban on the march, Allen was one of a group of around 40 protesters who were reported to have chanted F off refugees and Allah is a pedo. They spell it wrong, though.
Pedo.
Yeah, pedo. P-A-E-D-O. Well,
that's the royal spelling, Scott. P-A-E-D-O.
When the Queen talks about pedophilia.
A pedophile.
But now it has emerged that lowlife Allen has, throw a little, what would you call that? The editorial in there.
Kick them when they're down.
Yeah.
Lowlife.
Lowlife Allen has a conviction for sending indecent messages and photos and having sexual contact with a 13-year-old girl at his home 10 years ago when he was in his 20s. Yeah, that's how it goes, this stuff. People complain too loudly. I never believe them. I think they're full of crap. next up, we got a cafe who serves coffee with an egg and cheese. Now, this isn't just...
That sounds delicious.
Well, Brian, it's not just like a plate with here's your egg and cheese and then here's a coffee.
Like, it's like an Egg McMuffin with the coffee next to it. It sounds absolutely perfect. I think that... How is this a headline, Scott? How is this a story?
You'd be wrong in thinking it tastes good, or you'd be wrong in thinking it's not weird. It's kind of bizarre and gross. A cafe in Vietnam is serving up fresh coffee with an egg and cheese literally in the coffee. The drink is made by whisking a whole egg into a steaming hot coffee, along with a little added butter and cheese. They say that these things create a creamier froth and a richer, silkier, smooth indulgence.
Coffee Julius.
It sounds like thick and liquid to Brian.
It does. How does the cheese not just like coagulate into little chunks?
I'm going to predict it does. I don't think there's any way it doesn't.
Oh, this is... This
is pretty gross, dude.
It's foul.
Yeah.
Foul!
Bottom of the barrel stuff here. People are comparing the new coffee to the work of Cafe the work of Cafe Jiang in Hanoi, Vietnam, to an after-meal pudding.
Would you care for an after-meal pudding?
No, I would not, it turns out. Workers at the cafe blend up the coffee every morning, which involves mixing eggs, cheese, condensed milk, sugar, powdered coffee, and some other secret ingredients, which they will not reveal. Nope. Nope. That's a big fat nope right there. It says the history of the coffee is interesting. It was created during the French War in Vietnam during a milk shortage. The country traditionally served coffee with condensed milk, but during the war, cans were sparse. So this dude, who was a bartender at the time in the city of Softeal Legend Metropoli Hotel, whisked up an egg to replace the milk, and it stuck. And now they're in.
That's a horrible replacement.
I like, completely agree.
Oh, darn, I don't have any milk. Oh, I'll use an egg.
Yeah.
It's not how that works.
Guys, we're out of lemonade. Oh, get the horse pee. That's a good substitute. Right,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It's not good.
All right.
All right. Well, let's move on to another cheese story.
Okay.
Accused pizza thief. His name is Cheese.
My name is Cheese.
Sheldon Cheese. He's 17 years old. And is facing felony charges in adult court after he had... This is a court where the judge wears nothing but a bikini bottom and is topless. It's an adult court. Friday, after he and a friend were accused of robbing a pizza man at gunpoint. Be a pizza delivery man, not a pizza man. Cheese, who lives in New York, Pennsylvania, or in York, Pennsylvania, rather, was identified after he left his wallet and identification in a car. The victim, whose name was not released, was delivering the pizzas Tuesday to Cheese and his friend, Logan Alexander. I really wish his name was like Sausage.
Right, exactly.
Age 18 of Littlestown, Pennsylvania, at a location in Penn Township, according to the affidavit. It holds court in Hanover, it says. Police contend that Cheese knocked off the man's car window. How do you knock? Oh, knocked on. Sorry. Knocked on, the opposite of off.
So, like, yeah, you're you're now reading antonyms.
Award-winning legacy podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Knocked on his door window, and the victim got out of his car while Alexander waited in the rear, pointing a gun. Pizza guy stabbed, robbed, but makes delivery. Oh, that's a different story.
That's a different story.
The delivery man gave the suspects two pizzas and $25, and then they fled. They ended up catching Cheese later.
So. Sheldon Cheese.
Yep.
What's the worst... Can you come up with a worst first name for somebody whose last name is Cheese?
Nope.
Milton Cheese?
Or Richard Cheese.
Dick Cheese, yeah. Dick Cheese, all right. Yeah. You win.
There you go.
Didn't even think about that.
I know, I can't believe it. You know why you were so traumatized by it? You just pushed it out of your mind. I understand.
I did, yes. Who's Richard Cheese? I don't know.
I don't know who that is. What are you talking about? PTSD.
The chicken was a baby. came out.
I love that MASH is getting multiple mentions.
Siegfried.
Today.
No, what's his name? Sydney.
Sydney. Not Sydney Sheldon. I'm thinking of the cheese guy. Sydney.
Not Sydney Poitier. Not Sydney Lumet.
It's gonna bug me. Sydney. It's a Jewish name. That's all I remember.
Feinberg.
It was like that. Like Fogelberg or Flangey. I don't know. Hey, look at
Blumenthal.
Blumenthal. Is that it? No.
Friedman.
Sydney Friedman.
Yeah.
All right. Still sort of Jewish origin. A final story. A hotel was ransomed by a bunch of hackers as guests locked in their rooms.
Oh.
Oh, no. As guests locked out of rooms. I did it again.
I remember seeing this, and I thought they actually locked the rooms, and people were stuck inside them. Oh, no. That's right. No, they locked them out. Okay. Because what would you be able to steal if you locked everybody in their room, just like the ashtray with the hotel symbol stamped in it?
Yeah, I'd be real. Oh, geez. I mean, I wouldn't. I think I'd prefer to be locked out of it than in it. I don't know, actually.
Well, if you're locked out of the hotel, perfect, right? Because then you have free reign of all the rooms and you can take what you want.
Right. Well, if you're the hacker, yeah.
Yeah.
One of Europe's top hotels has admitted they had to pay thousands in Bitcoin ransom to cyber criminals.
It's a ransom thing. I do remember reading about this. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So this happened.
Yes.
Well, not cool, but yeah. I know what
you
mean.
Well, no, I mean, but yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Furious
cool,
hotel man.
I have an alibi for where I was at the time.
It's a luxurious 4-star hotel with a beautiful lakeside setting in the Alpine Turricher hold on, Turritcher Hohe Pass in Austria. This is not how you say it. said they decided to go public with what happened to warn others of the dangers of cybercrime. Yeah, they basically locked everybody out. They couldn't get in there during opening weekend of the winter season and held it hostage and says, unless you pay us so much in bitcoins. Let's see. The hackers promised to restore the system quickly. If just 1,500 euros, that's 1,272 GBP. What's GBP?
Pounds.
Oh, that's pounds? Great British pounds. Yeah. Why don't they just put the pound symbol in there? That's weird. I don't mean hashtag, but, you know, the other one. Yeah. Anyway.
Pound sign.
So they got a bunch of... Hashtag. All right, that's your stories.
Wait. Yeah. So with it being in Bitcoin, couldn't then authorities just wait in like one of the three places that you can still spend Bitcoin?
No, because that stuff's all... That's the whole thing of Bitcoin is it's
I know, I'm making
totally
a joke about how Bitcoin is crap.
But yeah, and if Brian...
Leave it to me to do that on the day that Tom's going to be here.
Yeah, he could help us. He could explain it again. Because I still don't know it very well, but I do know that one of its problems is it's impossible to track shit.
The hackers then called Tom Merritt and asked them how they could spend this Bitcoin.
And he said, no. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's Recommendals with Nicole. It's Tom's Tech Time with Tom and more. So come back for that. But before you leave, don't leave at all. Just listen to this song.
Yeah. Can I stick around?
Yeah,
is that all right?
Stay. You should stay and you should play me a song.
Holy cow. All right. How about a band named Uncle Ben's Remedy? With great power comes great remedy. They are a hometown band from the town of Versailles, not Versailles, but when it's in the U.S., it's pronounced Versailles, where community still matters and music is a part of every event. Three of the five band members actually learn to play and sing in Versailles, and it gives their music kind of an honest back porch feel of the country music that they love. Ben Westland is singer and guitarist. Harmony Griffin is guitar, banjo, and mandolin. Sean Hustis is piano, accordion, fife, vocals, and more. Brendan O'Connor is on upright bass. And of course, Jimmy Royce follows up with the drums and vocals. They grew up hanging out at like family band practices and listening to stuff like the Allman Brothers and Skynyrd and Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard. And so all those influences shape the way they sound. This is from their album Not Far From the Tree, appropriately titled. Here's Uncle Ben's Remedy and Fire in the Field.
Go get your boots, we're going up back. Gonna find a way where there ain't no track. Pull up a stomp, get your guitar out. There's a fire in the field tonight. There's a fire in the field, and you all know what that means. The time's right, getting the night to live inside our dreams. See the good old boys and girls sucking old through aluminum cans. We're all hiding where we can. Go get your boots.
She was lashing you with a whip made of knotted penises.
Pick a raw potato.
The Morning Stream. A little dabble, do ya?
All right, we're back, everybody. I really like that a lot.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the kind of... I'm not going to call it country, because I don't think it is.
Right.
But it's like a...
It's a country crossover act, for sure. I mean, they're country blues.
Yeah.
Country rock. You know, they're not straight ahead like Garth and Waylon and stuff like that.
Yeah, I really dig it. I would listen to that whole album, I think. And maybe I will. Maybe.
Americana. That's a good description.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That is exactly what that is. All right, it's Tom Merritt time. I forget how I'm calling him.
Just... wait, isn't it Nicole time?
Oh, Nicole time is what I meant, and I know how I'm calling her.
All right.
So this is easy then. Yeah, no, you're right. I'm getting everything all mixed up. Rough day yesterday, everybody. Brain's still getting
back. It's
okay,
it's fine. It's all right.
Still getting back to the norms. Hello, Nicole. How are you?
Sorry, I got caught up in work, and I was like, "Ah, crap! It's 10 o'clock."
It's all good. Hey,
work. Yeah, you didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, you're right on the money as far as I'm concerned. Here you are.
I didn't have anything prepared?
Oh, well, then you're even way but more behind.
Hey, wait a minute. We talked yesterday, and you knew what you were doing.
Was it yesterday? You guys talked? I don't know.
Yeah, we talked yesterday.
Oh,
yeah. I was in their house yesterday, stealing their furniture.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, was she like on the way out? No worries, I got recommendals tomorrow. I'll be all set.
That's right.
That's perfect. Well, no worries. It's we'll do. We got two at least. We got two of these here.
I have one. I just need to pull the clip up.
Oh, all right. Well, pull that clip. So what we do on Wednesdays with Nicole is we get her on here and we do some recommendals, stuff streaming on Netflix, Amazon, or wherever. Things we like to recommend, and it's all based on a theme. The person we're basing it on this week is Joan Cusack, the sister of John Cusack. And they appear in more movies together than I remembered.
Yeah.
Do you say Cusack or Cusack?
I always say Cusack, but I could
Cusack,
be wrong.
Yeah, John Cusack. Like a Z instead of an S. Cusack. Cusack.
Yeah, let me see how it actually, let's find out. Pronounce Cusack.
Cusack.
Cusacka. Okay, here it is. Playing it for you. Let's see what he says here. Oh, I hate this swirly one. It takes forever to load. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go.
Joan Cusack.
Cusack.
Cusack. John Cusack.
Joan Cusack.
All right.
John Cusack.
It's like one of those, you keep saying it enough, you're like, what am I saying? Like, what is this word?
I was not programmed to love, says that lady.
Another Jay Martin says it's actually Cusack.
Oh, well, tell the computer lady that.
Exactly. Tell swirly YouTube thing. There must be some... Like, if your video is shorter than a certain amount, you can't collect money on it. So they have to throw that swirly in there. It's like, all right, we've got our 15 seconds.
Well, that's a good point. I wonder if they do have a thing like that. Like, they won't run ads for it or something.
Right.
Hmm. Well, all right. Let's play Brian's clip. Brian, any setup here? You want me to go for it?
Sure. This film features Joan Cusack along with a couple of guys who've appeared in a few films together, like Little Shop of Horrors and Parenthood. Mm-hmm. And I'll just get right to the clip.
All right. Here it is. Whoa, that's the song we just played. Sorry. Here it is for real. Sorry.
Eddie.
Eddie what?
That's all I know, except he drives a blue Nova.
The car you were picked up in was not a blue Nova. It was a green Chrysler.
Oh, well, that explains it. I jump-started the wrong car.
I was in a hurry.
I was on my way to church to say a few novenas for Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is not a Catholic holiday.
Thanksgiving is very big with the Italians. Turkey cacciatore, sweet potato parmesan.
There is no such thing as Thanksgiving in Italy. It is an American holiday. And I've been to Italy. It's not
to Florence, right?
Yes.
Ever been to Sicily by any chance?
No.
Thanksgiving is very big in Sicily on account of the large number of Sicilians who went to America and then got thrown back out.
All right. I have no idea what that is.
My Blue Heaven.
Oh.
That's right.
Who's talking there?
Is that Steve Martin and Joan Cusack?
Oh, I didn't say, I knew it was her, but I couldn't tell who that was talking. That's
yeah,
Steve
he's he plays a mob boss that's under the witness relocation program. Mm-hmm. And second to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, I think this might be the second favorite thing for me Steve Martin's ever done. I love this film. Oh. It's came out in 1990. Steve Martin, Rick Moranis. Rick Moranis is the FBI agent that's tasked with keeping an eye on Steve Martin. Joan Cusack is the district attorney that he keeps running afoul of the law, you know, because he can't give up his mob boss ways. Mm-hmm. And there is just something that's so fun about this movie. And Steve Martin's performance is so over the top, but I freaking love it. Mm. I mean, him talking about arugula, it's a vegetable.
I've never seen My Blue Heaven.
Oh, you've got to see it. Okay. Seriously. Like put it on your list to watch before it disappears. It's on HBO Go HBO Now right now.
Okay.
So watch it. It's great. It's 90s as crap. Like there's a bunch of music montages and things like that that totally use the that whole 90s feel music wise. Mm. But
I remember watching it the first, like when it first came out, and I was like, but I don't know. I watched it again last night and I enjoyed it.
Totally grew on you. Yeah. So Nicholas Pileggi wrote this book called Wise Guy, right? And that's the movie, or that's the book that Goodfellas was based on. Mm-hmm. Nicholas Pileggi's wife is Nora Ephron, mm-hmm. and she wrote My Blue Heaven.
Oh, yeah. Kind
of
know
like
she wrote
the research, used some of the research of.
She directed as well?
No, Herbert Ross directed it.
Oh, okay. Just curious. She was mostly known for directing.
He's done. Let's see. He did Boys on the Side, Undercover Blues, Soap Dish, Steel Magnolias, Secret of My Success.
Oh, wow. That's a broad range of stuff.
Yeah.
Nora Ephron, who died not long, how many years ago? I forget. Is he dead too? Nicholas Pileggi.
I don't know if he's dead. Nicholas Pileggi is still alive.
Okay, cool. He needs
and
to do
Nora
at least.
Ephron is, yeah,
he needs to do,
she passed away.
He should do one more Scorsese movie.
Totally.
Just one more. Just get one more out. Be done. Because he did both. He did Wise Guys and Casino. Were both him, right? Mm-hmm. And I would like to see just one more out of him, if he could do it.
Totally. That'd be great.
Here's my clip. And I'm cheating a little today as to where you get it. But it's definitely got her in it. So here you go. I'm playing it.
Where'd you get this beautiful hair?
Kmart.
So funny.
I never go to the bathroom here if I can help it.
Well, what do you do?
Just hold it in. Stay away from liquids.
Everyone knows that going to school is an education in itself.
Peel under the dust. The gum's not the worst. It's the boogers that freak me out.
One false move might wipe you out.
All right, any guesses?
Wow. 70s, teenage, high school, 80. Comedy, or 80s?
80s, yeah. 80s, yeah. Any guesses?
That's not 16 Candles, is it? No.
I was saying it wasn't 16 Candles. I muted myself. Sorry.
Nope.
Oh.
Definitely, like, not that. Burr, 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 burr. Definitely not that.
Wow. I can't place
was it. Was it Better Off Dead?
Nope. I'll give you a hint. It's got, who should I say is in it without giving it away? Let's say, okay, Jane Cobb from Firefly, Adam Baldwin's in it. It's just like his first thing.
Oh, not My Bodyguard.
That is absolutely correct. My Bodyguard.
It is My Bodyguard. Okay, cool.
So My Bodyguard, when I was a kid, I thought was the coolest movie because I was kind of a nerd and I wanted my own bodyguard. And the idea that there would be like this tough kid who hardly said anything that scared everybody would be on your side. And you were the little twerpy nerd was just this amazing fantasy. And it came out in 1980, so it's super old. I remember it very clearly. It was also kind of forbidden fruit for a while at my house. My parents wouldn't let me watch My Bodyguard, so I had to go find it somewhere. That's how it works, parents. You just either watch the stuff with them or, you know, don't be so weird, or else they'll just watch it anyway. But anyway, I didn't get it from a streaming service. I got it from a streaming source, however, and that was from iTunes for $2.99. And they also have it on Vudu. They have it on Google Play. It's on PlayStation video downloads, Vudu, all that stuff.
Cool.
So That's where I got it. It's awesome. Stars a whole bunch of people whose names escape me at the moment. I should have had this up in front of me. It's got, there it is. Matt Dillon is in it. He's the bully. He's a total jerk. Martin Mull's in it. Of course, Adam Baldwin as the bodyguard. This kid who played Clifford, who's the nerd, never went on to do much else. His name is Chris Makeup. And Ruth Gordon's in it. And I love Ruth Gordon. But most importantly, Joan Cusack's in it. She's this snotty girl, and she's real young and kind of a hoot, and I really enjoyed it.
That's funny. And it does not feature John Cusack.
No.
However, it does feature Dick Cusack, plays Principal Roth. So I'm guessing that might be their parent, or their dad.
Oh, look at that. Must be. Oh, weird. Oh, George Wentz in this? I didn't know that. I'd forgotten he was in it. John Houseman's in it. That's true. Yeah, so it's,
there's a whole family of Cusacks. John, Joan, Anne, Susie, and Bill.
Yeah. That's a lot of Cusacks.
Getting
a lot of Cusack done. Anyway, it's great. It's worth a rental. I loved it. I'd watch it again. I recommend it. Nicole, what do you got there for us? You got one?
So I have two.
Oh, geez.
So I picked a new one, but then I just realized one of my favorite movies with Joan Cusack can be watched on Stars.
Look, I want to just say this. For someone who forgot about recommendals, you are the most prepared person I have ever seen. You have two recommendations. That's right. Insane.
So all right. I'll play you the older movie, and then we'll do the newer one.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
So this is the scene. I love this scene so much. There you go. Oh, stupid sound. See, I'm not that prepared.
Mark!
Stop.
Legacy podcast.
Stop, please! Stop! You have to stop! It's an emergency! I need a heterosexual code red!
Miss, are you okay? Do you need help?
No, I'm just beyond help. I'm just a Grinch. I'm a jinx.
Miss Montgomery?
Cameron? Oh my God. Cameron?
Do you guys know the movie?
I have no idea. No idea.
So did you get the actors in the scene?
Joan Cusack.
Well, Joan Cusack.
Yeah.
And is Bill Pullman the other guy?
That was Matt Dillon.
They're together again.
Did you hear what she said? I need a heterosexual man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what's this and how old is it? Is it old?
It's older. It also stars, do you hear that?
It is later.
It's Kevin Kline is a star of this movie.
Oh, Kevin Kline.
Okay. All right. So I did see something in the chat room. I didn't know if it was right or not. I'm going to guess on behalf of them that it's In-N-Out.
It is In-N-Out.
Good job, chat room.
So 97 was when this was released.
That's when Kevin Kline was doing some cool stuff. That's great.
Almost 20 years.
He's Mr. Fish Odor now, you know.
20 years, what?
He will forever be Mr. Fish Odor because I don't think he's doing any other
love that.
Yeah.
It's a great name, too.
I don't think he's doing much else. But
So Joan Cusack plays his fiance. And Matt Dillon is a famous actor that used to be a student of Kevin Kline's. And he wins an Oscar for playing a gay soldier, and he dedicates it to his gay teacher who isn't gay. And that's Kevin Kline.
Wow.
Magnum P.I. is also in it. I can't remember his name. What's Magnum P.I.'s name?
Thomas?
No.
Mustache guy.
Yeah, the actor.
Oh, Tom Selleck is your name. I thought you meant Magnum's first name.
Thomas Magnum. Yeah, Tom Selleck. That is correct.
Oh, man. So I love it. It's such a great movie. And you can watch it on Stars if you have Stars, or you can do the 7-day free trial. I love it.
All right.
I see it come in and out of like Amazon Prime. And so I'll see it on services like Netflix. So it's in and out.
All right. I'm in. What's your bonus one there?
So I we just had to talk about this because it's brand new and I don't really have a clip really, and we'll just play that. All we'll right. see what it does.
He said specifically he was waiting very eagerly to get his hands on you.
No.
Something strange is going on. Did you see the tattoo on his ankle? He's in disguise and he's trying to take us away.
He'll never get away with this.
He's a vile, terrible person.
He's a thief and a murderer, and so far has completely escaped capture.
Villain! Wretch!
He's horrible. Awful.
You haven't the faintest idea.
All right.
I was wondering if we were going to get into Neil Patrick Harris in this.
Yeah, little Doogie Howser at the end.
There was Joan Cusack was in there too. She plays the judge. Do you guys? I'm assuming you know what this is.
Yeah, I know what it is, but I haven't seen it yet. Unfortunate events. Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but I plan to.
So a series of unfortunate events, which is a Netflix original series. Mm-hmm. So it's 12 episodes or so. I watched the first episode. Have you watched it yet, Brian?
I have not. No, but it's on the list. It's.
Did you see the movie with Jim Carrey?
Yes,
I didn't. And I hear it's a good thing I didn't.
It's all right. I don't think it's that bad.
I don't think it's that bad either. In fact, I felt like, I mean, I love Neil Patrick Harris and you're getting more of that. Mm-hmm. I almost got a little bored watching the show because I kept thinking about the movie. Mm. Like, I don't know. It matches that for me. My memory might be off a bit, but I like the tone. You also get Lemony Snicket, which is Patrick.
Say his last name. Say his last name.
Is it War? Oh, he's called Warbutton.
Warbutton. Warbutton. She said it, Warbutton. It's Warburton, but yes.
Warburton. I always call him Warbutton.
How about a mouth of the Warbutton?
I love that. He's like your narrator guy.
He's Lemony Snicket.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he's narrating it. The visuals are great. Like, it's really cute. I'm going to continue watching it because it's just, I love Neil Patrick Harris and, you know, he plays different characters throughout. And there's the tone, the vibe is, for me, very similar to the movie. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of the same, I mean, it's the same story.
Sure. Well, it's from the book.
It's stretched out.
It's based on the books. So the show's not trying to remake the movie as much as it is trying to realize the book series in a more, I don't know.
How many books were there?
A bunch of them. I don't know how many.
A lot.
My daughters were really into it for a while. They were reading all that stuff back in the day. I don't think I ever picked one up. I remember liking the movie okay. I mean, it was very much like, Jim Carrey making faces for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But it kind of worked. But I've been hearing really good things about this, so I'll watch it.
Yeah, Dice Tomato in the chat room says it's got a Pushing Daisies kind of feel to it in its presentation, which that sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that.
Nice. So. Well, I miss me some Pushing Them Daisies. Mm-hmm. So I will check it out finally. It's on my list as well. Nicole Spag, everybody. You can find her. Oh, we need a theme.
We'll pick next time.
Okay, what do you like? What do you like?
Well, we got to pick somebody from Nicole's movie.
Okay.
As a tie-in.
All right.
Warbutton. Mm-hmm. Let's do Matt Dillon.
Matt Dillon. Well, I just did Matt Dillon. Well, I didn't. I mean, he's in the movie I talked about, but. Yeah, he's in two of our movies today. We could do him. Sure, Matt Dillon.
Let's see. Lots of Matt Dillon streaming. So good choice.
Okay. There is Tex streaming? Can I watch Tex?
Tex?
Yeah, remember Tex?
I don't remember Tex.
You would be one of those things you would have avoided, Brian, because it's all about a cowboy guy.
It is not streaming.
Okay. Because it was kind of like the... You know, what's the one with John Travolta where he rides the mechanical bull?
Urban Cowboy.
It's basically another Urban Cowboy style movie.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now you've given me two reasons to stay away from it.
Yeah, not too hard. All right. So it's him next week. He's our guy. He's our man. If he can't do it, no one can.
Cool. Wow.
That gives me can we just say which one's not allowed? We shouldn't be able to watch what's the one where he's... gets it on with two ladies at once. What's that called?
Oh, Wild Things?
Yeah, we can't do Wild Things, can we?
Why can't we do that?
And you just ruined it.
I hate that movie. I freaking hate that movie. So good, I ruined
Neve Campbell
it.
Because
you hate it doesn't mean everybody hates it.
I know.
Charlie Sheen's ex.
If everyone likes it, great. It sucks, and I'm glad we're not doing it because I ruined it.
All right. We're eliminating it. Yeah. It is streaming right now on HBO Go.
Okay. All right. HBO Nicole Spag on Twitter. You can find her there. She'll talk about these things later, and we'll be back next week with more. Nicole, thanks so much. Have a great day. We'll see you later.
Yeah, it's a... Bye-bye. It's Matt Dillon walking around with his unit out, too, if I remember correctly.
Oh.
Like, oh, no, Kevin Bacon walks around with his unit out.
Like full frontal bacon?
Full frontal, yep. You get to see...
You get to see Kevin's bacon?
Uncooked bacon.
I don't want to see Kevin's bacon. All right. What are we doing now? Let's call Tom. I think that's...
Please.
I think that's what's up. Let's see here. Gosh, dang it. I'm a little discombobulated. Ace Detect.
Coffee's empty.
It is. Well,
yes.
You need a little servant person or something. Like a little, I don't know.
I do. I need an assistant.
Some kind of servant assistant person.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man who appears to be back in the studio basement filming space.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. How'd that go? Everything good now? The water has receded?
The waters have receded. The waters receded last week. But we now have a tile floor down here.
Yeah.
And much better cable management.
Mm. I'll bet.
So that's something you don't want to discover the hard way, right?
No kidding.
Believe me. Yeah. No, on Sunday, if anybody didn't hear it, Sunday, water started coming in from the hillside through the foundation into my basement here. And thankfully, I discovered it right as it was starting. But I was scrambling around, pulling cables up off the ground, pulling boxes up off the ground. And in the end, I thought I'd lost some baseball cards, but it turned out I didn't. The only thing I lost were some empty boxes that I had kept to repack electronics when I move. So not something I'm going to miss all that much, really.
Sure. Silver lining there, because I was worried you were going to lose other stuff or some of your hardware would get, you know, wet or whatever.
No, I play from that Silver Linings playbook, Scott.
Well, good. Always got that on you. Well, we missed you last week, and we're excited to have you back because it's tech day, at least for me anyway. It's a Daily Tech News Show, the day I get to be on, and I'm pretty stoked about doing it. But you always come on and tell us what's percolating, what's happening in the world of
tech. There's a few different things percolating out there in the percolator, not a fish. Go watch Damn Fine Podcast.
There's a fish in the percolator.
I think the my favorite here is that Facebook, according to the Wall Street Journal sources anyway, is developing a set-top streaming box app.
Oh.
So there's lots of ways you can look at this. One is, well, YouTube has one and Facebook has video. So, you know, Facebook ought to have an app where you can watch that video on your television easily over your Roku or your Apple TV. There's also a lot of other sources saying that Facebook has been talking to media companies about commissioning original program or licensing original programming. So this would be a way, if they did that, to bring that to you so you could watch it. This Wall Street Journal story, however, says that they're talking about shows up to 10 minutes long. So this feels like licensing short form stuff, the kind of stuff that you might be more familiar with from YouTube.
Yeah, that's interesting. So we had a big conversation last night on Core about the fact that the Heroes of the Dorm championships are not being shown on ESPN this year, and they're not being shown on Twitch. They are instead live streaming it on Facebook. They have some deal with Facebook to do that. And our thought was, one of the big inconveniences there is there's no simple set-top box way of watching streamed content from Facebook. Any indication that this app would be more than preloaded 10-minute content could actually be streamed?
I mean, this is all sources say kind of stuff. So there's nothing to actually parse here. There's no announcement from Facebook, but it does seem like, they would want to have all of their video available, because the idea is they need to boost the video numbers so they can sell more ads against it. Now, the only thing against that idea isn't that the app wouldn't show live, but it does seem like more and more publishers are pulling out of their deals with Facebook. They got in the deals to say, yeah, we'll try this out, and they're not seeing the engagement and support that they thought they were going to. At least that's some of the scuttlebutt.
Because I not everybody can be that like Wookiee mask lady who, you know, had the
I don't think anyone else can be the Wookiee mask.
Yeah, no, people have tried. Many have tried. All have failed.
I know.
All have failed. But she was like the most popular, most viewed live stream of any kind this year. And it got me to thinking, oh, well, all right. Facebook's, you know, this is serious. This is well beyond anything Periscope has put out in terms of numbers. This is way beyond anything most of these other live streaming apps have done. So it seemed like a real, I don't know, like a notification that, hey, Facebook and live streaming are going to be a thing. And from what you're telling me, I mean, I'm coming at it from a biased position because I really want to watch Heroes of the Dorm.
Yeah, right.
I would
right.
like to
this
watch
is not
going to
help you with that.
Yeah, I don't want to open. I don't want to watch it on a Facebook window like on my
you
computer.
You can AirPlay it.
True, that's true.
I know, but it's all workaround stuff, right? It's not designed.
It'd be nice if this app, if it is happening, supported that. But I don't know how else they can leverage this if they have people backing out of deals, or in other words, they're not getting the engagement they need. And if all you're telling me
is that's scuttlebutt, right? Right. Who knows if that's actually true? And Facebook may be doing things to make sure that that's not happening. Mm. Anytime you launch a product, at some point somebody's going to back out and say, "Nah, well, not for me."
Yeah. Well, so let's play the guessing game. Do you think that the content, this 10-minute content, that is maybe the idea here? Are we talking about homegrown YouTube style stuff? Are we talking about licensing short films from the Sundance Channel? Like, what are we talking about, do you think?
It's set, again, we're parsing sources say right. kind of stuff here, but it does sound like they're talking to media companies. So it could be, hey, Esquire, hey, Hollywood Reporter, we'd like you to put videos that you guys do up on our service. Mm. We'd like to license those and put them in this service. It says scripted shows. So yeah, they might be going to some high-end YouTube creators or multi-channel networks and saying, hey, can you make a series with one of your YouTube stars, with one of your YouTube creators, and bring it over to Facebook? That is definitely the kind of thing that Facebook is going to want to do. And who knows, maybe they're looking for supplemental content to broadcast television shows. You know, those what we used to call back in the day webisodes. That kind of stuff could go on there. So, yeah, I'd be very interested what they're going to do. And it's surprising to me when I saw this 10-minute limit, it sort of makes sense in that Facebook wants a lot of views that they can run ads against, but I had expected to see, you know, some half-hour show type stuff, and maybe we still will. It's hard to say.
I really hope they don't call them webisodes. I hope that doesn't happen.
I don't think anyone calls them that anymore.
I hate
Nobody
it.
Likes that term. Webinar, webisodes.
Yep. Oh no, I don't even like vlog. I hate
How about we go way back and call them episodes?
Episodes.
Oh God.
I like it. On my ETVs. Well, all this and more clearly will be on display today on Daily Tech News Show. So come on back and check that out. It's at 2:30 Mountain Time at DailyTechNewsShow.com, DiamondClub.tv, and of course, I'll be there. Tom will be there. And I'm very much looking forward to it. Anything else, Tom, before we go?
Real quickly, news-wise, there are the Apple earnings. We're going to talk about that. Fitbit is discontinuing its coin service. We'll talk about that. There's a bunch of other stuff. But, you know, the other thing that I've been reminding folks about is the book Pilot X that I wrote is coming out March 14th. And you can pre-order it on Amazon. You can pre-order it from Inkshares directly at inkshares.com. And you can get an audiobook now. It's available at audible.com. So go look up Pilot X if you'd like a story about a time traveler who gets stuck in the position of having to decide between his own people and saving the universe. That's the story for you.
Who did the? Did you do the read?
It's not me. It's a guy who has done stories like David Weber's before, Bruce Catton's before. He's a pro. He's really good.
Oh, I'm going to have to check it out. That's awesome. Okay.
Well, I think you're a pro, Tom. I like your voice. I want to hear you read it.
Yeah.
I can't wait for our acoustic album to come out, Ibbit.
Yeah, your acoustic unplugged Tom Merritt. It's going to be great. Well, awesome. Ace Detect on Twitter as well, everybody. Go check it out. Tom Merritt, everybody. Take it easy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Brian, that concludes. You know what? I'm actually going to try to find this. Where's the search on Audible? It's not here anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
They got to have a search.
Well, there's a browse audio, so I'll do that and then see if I can search. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I can search. That's dumb. They don't have the search on the front. Okay, so we're going to look
for a little magnifying glass icon. Usually the search is represented by a little magnifying glass.
Here it is. Tom Merritt, Pilot X, narrated by Kevin T. Collins. Oh, they don't have a sample yet.
Oh, a sample. Oh,
no
bummer.
Sample yet. Yeah, it looks like it's too new. So they will have a sample there eventually. Dang it, I really wanted to play it.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Tom. This is a really rad thing he's doing. So people should go check that out, Pilot X. All right, Brian, we're done. We're out.
One quick note. For those of you waiting for TMS Film Fest announcements, that's coming tomorrow. We'll make that announcement tomorrow.
I forgot.
And we'll have the February deal.
Yeah. The plan February, the topic or the
topic. Thank you.
Topic,
subject.
Subject. Theme. That's the word.
Thank you. Theme.
Yeah. My fault for it being late on the winter, being out yesterday, and then I totally forgot this morning. So tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. Patreon.com/TMS. Feel free to support us there. It means a lot when you do. I have an idea I have to tell you about later, but that just reminded me of it, so I'll tell you about it.
Okay, cool.
Also, we're streamed every day at alphageekradio.com, so big thanks to them. And you can find us at frogpants.com/TMS. All the contact details are there, so please do that. Follow us on Twitter, Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. Coverville is a place that does songs. There's a show later today, and you've already talked about that, but why don't you play one for me now?
Okay, yeah, listen, if you want to hear some Guns N' Roses, listen later at... Coverville.com. Mike Warbington wrote in, not Warbutton. Mike says, "Hey Brian, a friend of mine who goes by the name Monovision is an independent artist working on a project to cover the entirety of the Foo Fighters album, There Is Nothing Left to Lose. His latest work is a cover of their song Learn to Fly, and I think it would be a great fit for TMS. This is the third track in the series, and he's promised to release a new track every Friday, and you can follow his series on YouTube. This isn't a tribute or a dedication. I don't have a specific date for the request. I would just love to hear this on the show. Shove the Hobo, Mike."
Oh.
Well, Mike, good choice. This is a great cover. This is by Monovision. His cover album is called Everything Left to Win. Get it? There's nothing left to lose. Everything mm-hmm. left to win. Mm-hmm. You can find it on YouTube. Here is Monovision and his cover of the Foo Fighters' Learn to Fly.
Looking 'cause I'm tired of trying.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Every jot and tittle.